Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started with the message today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been so good to us, so much better than we'd ever deserve. And Father, we know that without you, we could do nothing. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and protect us according to your tender will and mercy. We pray that your will be accomplished in all things. And Father, we pray that your words would touch souls that are listening, that we that are saved could be revived, strengthened, and encouraged. And Father, for those that are lost, that they could see their need to turn and trust in Jesus before it be everlasting too late. Help our nation, Father. Help us to look to you. Help us all over the world, Father, to keep our eyes focused on you and your word, that we could see your blessings. And Father, for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. We're in the book of Romans today, Romans chapter 11. We've been going through, of course, the past few weeks, we've gone through the end of chapter 8 and all through chapter 9, all through chapter 10. It's been a continuation of the subject of dealing with how God has turned away from Israel and turned more towards the Gentiles. As far as a whole, as far as a group, we see that in our day and time, that most of the churches are made up of Gentiles, not of Jews. And you know that most of the Jews have rejected Christ, have denied Christ, and certainly that goes against what God desired for them, but he knew this was going to happen, and he preached to us how he knew this was going to happen. Now we get to a big point here, because the main part of the Jews have turned away from Christ, does that mean that Jews can't be saved? Does it mean that this comes down to what we talked about a little bit last week, of individual choice and individual decisions. Just because God, you know, turned away from Egypt years ago and, you know, brought his people out of Egypt and sent curses unto Egypt, were there not some of the Egyptians that sacrificed a lamb and put the blood upon the post of their house and their firstborn was spared? We find that, don't we? Do we also find some Gentiles back in the Old Testament that could convert and submit unto the laws of Israel and go by the promises and the things that God's Word taught, and they could be a part of the Israelites? Yes. That was allowed, wasn't it? It was permitted. And God has not predestined that everybody goes to hell, or this group over here goes to hell, or this group over here goes to heaven. It's an individual choice. Every one of us has an individual choice, and even the Jews had this. After God turned away his attention from the Jews as a whole because of their unbelief, because of their rejection of Christ, and turned it more to the Gentiles, it wasn't that the Jews still couldn't be saved. In fact, the person writing this is a Jew. And so we need to put that in context. We're picking up in verse 1 of Romans chapter 11. And Paul, being led of the Holy Spirit of God, says here, I say then, hath God cast away his people? Had God cast away Israel, is what he is saying. He said, God forbid. For I am also an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And we could go to Peter, we could go to John, we could go to several others in the New Testament church who were Jews, couldn't we? There were many Jews who had trusted in Christ. And there are some still to this day that have trusted in Christ. It's not that God has turned his back on all of Israel. It's not that God has said, I won't save you if you come to Christ. In fact, he says, if you'll trust the way that I've told you to trust in Christ, then you can be saved. It doesn't matter who you are. And I'm thankful that God's not a respecter of persons, that God will save a Jew just the same as he will a Gentile. And he doesn't care about how much money we have in the bank. And God doesn't care about what color our skin is, or, you know, what our mama and daddy did, or all these other things. He cares about, have you repented? Have you believed in the gospel? If you've done that, I'll save you. That's simple. And even for the Israelites, when he said, had God cast away his people? God forbid. I'm also an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God had not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Would ye not? what the Scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. He's going back to Elijah here, and he's saying, you know, Elijah felt like, you know, God, just take me out of the world. I'm the only one left. All the Jews have forsaken you, and I'm the only one here. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. In other words, God still had a remnant even then, didn't he? Even in the darkest days of Israel's existence, God still had a people. God still had Jews that were serving him and honoring him. And I know even for many Christians today, for those of us who are Bible-believing Christians, we find it very rare to come across another Bible-believing Christian. We come across a lot of false things, a lot of half-hearted things. Some have good intentions, but they've still gone away from the Word of God, the teachings of God. They've compromised the Word of God in many ways. And so I know for us Bible-believing Christians, we have some hard times, and sometimes we do feel like we're the only ones left. I mean, I had an experience a couple years ago where I went through a trend with a few church experiences, and not churches where I was a member of or things of this nature. I'm not going to go to all the details about it to maybe name somebody or where somebody can figure it out. But I had several experiences, even in preaching and going different places and visiting with different ministers. Man, I had, it seemed like, just one bad experience after another. And I'll be honest, the thought crossed my mind. I was like, God, has everybody forsaken you? Are people just throwing away the doctrines of your word? Or is there anybody left? And then, of course, I get around some of my other brothers and sisters in Christ, and I find out they're fighting the same fight, and they're standing for the word of God, and I'm reminded, I'm going, God, how foolish was I to think I was only one? How foolish was I? And of course, I knew better even at the time. I reminded myself, even in the time of what I was going through and some of the situations I was facing, I would remind myself, well, I know this preacher over here stands for you, and I know this church over here stands for you. And I was doing all that, but at the same time, you get to the point of going, is everything just falling apart? Is even the few churches that are left, are they falling down? Are they corrupting out? I know the devil's always at work. But a lot of times when we get in that state of despair, when we get into that state of saying, well, I feel like I'm the only one left, we need to remember that God's got things in hand. You know, I was at a church one time, and they just had a handful of people, and I do mission work with small churches. That's the calling that God has given me right now, is I work with small churches, trying to build them up and trying to help them get to where they can sustain for years to come. And that's the burden that God has given me, and I'm so thankful to be able to do that work. I enjoy it. I enjoy what God has called me to do. But you know, I was in a church not too long ago and visiting with some people, and they were like, well, you know, we only have a handful here. And I looked around the church, and there was 10 people in the service, and that was including me and my family. But there was 10 in the service. And one of the things I mentioned in the message that day is I mentioned to them, I said, you know that we have more here than got on the ark. I said, 8 souls were saved on the ark out of the entire world. And I said, in this little community, I said, we got 10. See, a lot of times we're not careful. We get down and we say, oh, there's just a few. And yet, we're a few in a community. We're a few maybe in a state. We're a few maybe in a nation, but if you look around sometimes, you know, I went to visit Canada not too long ago, and we met in some churches that were in homes, and we met some churches that were in the basement of homes, and we met, you know, in a lot of different places, and even in some church buildings and different things. And yet even there, and I know they feel, compared to what we have here in America, they feel isolated, they feel away from everything. But yet, I don't believe that we were in one single service for we had under maybe 15. Nearly double. I may have been 16 or more, so double what got onto the ark, and that's in the places where it's harder than it is in America, and they're dealing with different obstacles than we're dealing here, and I've read reports from the Hispanic missionaries and from the Philippine missionaries and South Korea and in different places all across the world, and yet I hear, you know, well, we're just a few, but we've got 20, and I'm going 20 here, 20 there, compared to what Noah had to deal with of all the world. You know, sometimes we get to the place that we think we're the last one left, and God's saying, I got some over here. I still got some. I still got some that's true to me. I still got some that use my real word. I still got some that stand for the true doctrines of Christ. I've still got some that stand for what's right and what's true. And that's what he's trying to remind us here, even concerning Israel. That even when Elijah thought, you know, they killed the prophets, they dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But of course, God answered and said, I've got, I've reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee unto Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Election, that just means the calling of God through Jesus Christ. God has elected to save whosoever believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The path has been elected. The way has been chosen, which is Christ. And there's still many believers in Christ all across the world. All across the United States. And I'm not going to just take the time to go through experience after experience, but I will say this. I've gone to the mountains before, and all of a sudden I'm sitting down talking to somebody that's a Christian and believes like I do. And they might be from Indiana, or they might be from Kentucky, or they might be from Ohio. And you just run into people. Sometimes on airplanes, I run into a Christian. You're going around and you're looking all around you, and you see false religion all around you, and you see atheism all around you, and you see all these sinful things around you. And then all of a sudden, I'm having a conversation with another Christian. And he starts telling me about what they're doing. He starts telling me about the work that God's leading them to do. And what that reminds me of, God's still working. And God still has His believers all around the world. You know, even my dad, he was stationed over in Afghanistan a few years back, and he ran into some Baptist missionaries over in Afghanistan. A lot harder for them. And I don't remember the numbers they had. I know it was a small group. But I would say this, it was more than eight. Even in Afghanistan, there's Christians. And there you might get acid thrown on you. You might be stoned to death. You might be shot. But it's amazing where you can find Christians. Where you can find God's people. And we need to remember that as Christians this day. There are still people holding to the truth. There are still people holding to the Word of God. And we need to look at what God is doing and how He's reserved things unto Himself. He said in verse 6, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." And he comes back to salvation, the main subject of what we've been dealing with all through this study. And he gets back and he says, you need to understand this. If it's by grace, it's no more of works. He comes back. That's some stuff that he was establishing in chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, wasn't it? And it's amazing how the Apostle Paul, in all of his preaching, we talked about the last couple weeks, how he went back and touched on some things they dealt with in chapter 1, and now he's coming back here in verse 6 of chapter 11, and he's bringing back up some things that he dealt with back in chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and saying, you need to understand what salvation is. And you need to understand that salvation isn't about what you've done for God, but what God has done for you. And it's about grace, not of works. And he goes back and he hits that home. And he's hitting that home for a reason to come over into some other subjects. And he's reminding them, it's not a mixture of works and grace. It's not one, it's not both of them combined. And it's certainly not of works, because if it is, then it's no more of the grace of God. And we know it's by the grace of God that we are saved. But if it's by grace, it's not about you. It's about what God's done for you. He says in verse 7, "What then? Israel hath not attained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded." And he's talking about Israel being blinded. He's talking about those people being blinded by their religion, by their other things, many blinded by religion today. He said, "According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day." For the most part, no matter how much scripture they've heard, no matter how many things that they've seen, no matter how much they can go to the book of Hebrews today and see how it coincides, no matter how many scriptures you can show them how Christ fulfilled prophecies in the Old Testament that they have, it's amazing how many are still blinded. And David saith, "Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them." In other words, what he's saying there is they've been so tied up in their religion that they couldn't even read the prophecies that they were given concerning Christ. "Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always." And they're just in spiritual darkness. And let me tell you, there's some people that have done that through atheism. There are some people that have done that through even other Christian works. You know, some of the hardest people I have to try to talk to and deal with, well, I guess I could say two Christian, and I'm hesitant to even use the word Christian groups, but just to get the point across, I know many of you understand what I'm saying. But I have a hard time talking with Catholics. I can show them how many things in the Scripture that they're going against and what they're being taught, how it's wrong, and it goes against Scripture, and it goes against what the Bible teaches. And yet they'll say, no, we go with this. And I have the same hard time sometimes with dealing with holiness or Pentecostal and different ones. That I can take Scripture and say, you know, here it is. Here it is outlined, what you're doing and how it's wrong and how it doesn't fit Scripture and how it doesn't go along with the Word of God. And they go, no. And, you know, I'm not going to argue with people all the day long. I'll present the truth and I'll present it in love. And I'm not here to argue with people. I'm not here to get in long, drawn out, you know, debates with people and things of that nature. But I'll present the truth to you any day. And I try to do that when God gives me the opportunity with people. But it's amazing how many times, no matter what truth you present to people, how they'll reject it. Especially concerning salvation. And they're in darkness. And they bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. And he says, through them not believing in Christ, the gospel has prospered amongst the Gentiles, as we see today. And it provokes them to jealousy. And they think, oh, it's silly that God would favor the Gentiles over the Jews. Well, he has because of their faith in his promise and his word. He says, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, because everybody that's not a Jew, that's the rest of the world, isn't it? And the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And he's saying, you know, it would be more of the fullness of the Jews if they trust in Christ. God still wants Israel to trust in Christ. God still wants the Jews to believe in Christ. and much more, you know, it'll be riches unto them. He says, for I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, and might save some of them. And he's even letting the Gentiles know. He says, everything I do, though, if it's possible, if it's able, I want to see my kinsmen saved. I want to see other Jews saved. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? The fulfillment of God's desire is what he's saying, and certainly of his as a Jew also. He said, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root. The root, of course, being God in Christ. But the root thee. And for those of us who are Gentiles and are saved, we don't need to feel like we're better than the Jews. Ha ha ha, we believed and y'all are going to hell and all this other stuff. No. I desire as much for Israel to be saved as I desire anybody to be saved. I want the Jews to be saved as much as I want people in Mississippi to be saved. And I know there's Jews in Mississippi. Or others in America, or others in my own family. We want all to be saved the same way that God does. He says, thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. And he says, well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. And he brings it back to us as Gentiles, and he's saying, You might want to put all this in perspective. The only reason that God has allowed you to be grafted in is because of your faith in Jesus Christ. And they were tossed aside, the Jews were, because they didn't believe upon Christ. So do we have really a lot to boast about or brag about? Not within ourselves, but in Christ. He said in verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, the Jews, what he naturally set up everything with, to set up his nation that Jesus would come through and that the law would be given through and all these other things. If God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. I want to deal with this for just a moment because this is very important. I come across a lot of Christians that say, we're under grace, and they're just, you know, hopping up and down, we're under grace, we're not under the law, and, you know, just hopping around acting like I can do anything I want. Oh, you better be careful. If God didn't let Israel get away with sinning against His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, do you think we get that benefit? Who have been grafted in or not the natural branches? You need to go back sometimes and study the book of Judges. You need to go back sometime and study the Old Testament prophets and see how God dealt with Israel when they went whoring after other gods, when they went out into idolatry, when they went out into fornication and adultery and homosexuality and all these sins that are out in the world. When they started living in sin and selfishness and going against the commandments of God, you might want to research that. Because if God dealt with them as the natural branches like He did, what do you think He's going to do to us? Sadly, there are a lot of so-called Christian churches in our day and time that think that you can just go out and live in any sin that you want to, and you're under grace, so it's okay. No. No, it's not. In fact, you might want to study the book of Revelation and study why God finally destroys this world. It's because they would not repent. It's because they were living in sin and idolatry and murders and hatred and theft and fornication and all these evils that we are allowing to go on today. We're fulfilling Scripture, dear friend. And if God didn't allow the Jews to get away with it, and we've just been grafted in because of our faith in Christ, you think that He won't bring judgment upon us? If you believe that, dear friend, you're a fool. And you have not read your Bible. Or else you refuse to see what you've read in your Bible. Because He is warning us right here. He said, "Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, Israel, take heed, lest He also spare not thee." I tell you, there's not enough preaching of fear of the Lord in our day and time, which means respect and understanding who God is and His judgment and His standard. And there are lines that you can cross and God says, "I'm not taking that anymore." You know, the old statement, for those of you who had some good parents, you know, your mama or your dad might say, "I've had it about up to here." Let me tell you, it's very plain in the Scripture that God says, "You can push me so far." And then I'm coming to remove the candlestick. Or I'm coming to take away your blessings. Or I'm coming to bring judgment. And it's mentioned several times in the New Testament, not just in the Old. And there are many New Testament preachers that refuse to preach that. And they're doing the people a disservice because they're lying to them. They're deceiving people. Now, that's not my desire, friend. I'm not here to deceive you. I'm also not here to scare you. I'm here to be truthful with you. I'll tell anybody that's gone out and committed sins that God will say to the othermost whosoever will repent and believe the gospel. I'll tell saved people that when we repent of our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. You know, I'll encourage you to turn to places like 1 John chapter 1. And study those things out. But what happens when we stop repenting? What happens when we turn completely away from God and say, "God, we don't care what you say anymore. We're just going to do what we want." What happens then? God said, "Don't be high-minded, but you might want to fear." God said, "If I brought judgment upon Israel, don't you think I'll bring judgment upon you who've been grafted in?" These are things we need to consider as God's people. These are things that we need to take seriously as God's people. And as the world, as they continue to provoke God and to poke and prod Him and say, "Well, God won't do anything, trust me," you're going to poke Him one too many times. You're going to provoke Him one too many times. And when the time comes, He's going to say, "I'm done." He's already said, "My spirit will not always strive with men." He's already warned us of the judgment that's coming. We might want to take it seriously. And we as God's people need to take it seriously first and foremost so that the world knows to take it seriously. And if you're listening and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, dear friend, I'm going to say it as I say many times, you feel free to call or write us when at your convenience. Anytime God deals with you, that's the best time. Our number is 601-544-7920. You can write me, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can email us, our email address, brobrandonh@aol.com. That's brobrandonh. @aol.com. We certainly pray that this could be a blessing, encouragement to you. Again, we just pray that God will touch your heart through the message. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this message, use it to your honor and glory, and for the good that is accomplished through it. Let us step aside and praise your name for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.